Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled God's Tackle Box. Good fishermen usually have well-stocked tackle boxes full of their favorite lures that have given them success in the past. As someone once said, if all we have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. If we only have one bait and one size of hooks in our tackle boxes, we're going to be limited in what we can catch. If we look at how Jesus fished for people, we quickly realize that he custom tailored his words and approach to the individuals he encountered. If we are going to fish for people the Jesus way, we will need to do the same. Below, I have listed some of the key things that we need to have in our own spiritual tackle boxes. The first is a commitment to God's mission. Fishing takes commitment. Commitment comes when we are convinced that something is so important that it deserves our heart, time, finances, and effort. For as long as it takes. Unless we are truly committed, we may agree that being on mission is worthwhile, but other things will preempt it. Committed people are different. Nothing stops a committed person from putting his or her convictions into action. Many Christians are committed to God, to church, to family, to their jobs, and to pursuing a happy life. Relatively few are committed to the Great Commission, which is a huge priority on God's heart. I recently talked with an avid fisherman. This man has an important job. Two of them, in fact. His main job and his side hustle, so to speak. Despite having to invest huge amounts of time in his work, he still finds time to fish almost on a daily basis. Living on a lake doesn't hurt. Nevertheless, why does he do it? Is it because somewhere back in the past he made a commitment which he now honors? Or is it that he is committed because he loves to fish? I think you know the answer. How do we move from being dutiful fishers of men to those who love to fish? We have to start somewhere. Most of us will probably begin sharing with others because we are excited to know Jesus and want others to experience this amazing grace too. But after we encounter enough pushback, we may back off. Some have never even shared the gospel out of that kind of excitement for whatever reason. If we have backed off or never even started to fish for people, we will likely need to overcome resistance to start fishing. We will have to commit ourselves to do it out of duty. However, as with my friend, fishing grows on people. We may find that fishing for people is something we want to do. Then we become committed to what brings us joy. And that will be a lasting commitment. If we're the best fishermen in the world, but are never available to go fishing, even the least talented fishermen will catch more fish than we. What we do reveals what we believe and what is important to us. Unless we make ourselves available for God's missionary work, we are only deceiving ourselves into thinking that we are serving his priority of mission. The second tool is an interest in people. I have known people, and most likely so have you, who were committed to telling others about Christ, but who apparently had little love for people. Their words about God's love were offset by their unloving attitude, sending a confusing mixed message. Jesus, on the other hand, combined an unswerving love of truth with a deep love for people. This made him intriguing and magnetic for anyone whose heart longed for God, and repulsive to those who were playing religious games. If we do not have God's love for people, we will likely attract religious hypocrites and repel the ones to whom we're sent. People are tired of being approached by those who only want to present a sales pitch to them without having any sort of relationship. Unless we are genuinely interested in people, we will never be really good at catching them. People are not evangelism targets. They are valuable individuals who are worth knowing, loving, and relating to, whether or not they ever choose to follow Christ. People instinctively know whether or not we are interested in them or not. May God increase our love for and interest in the people with whom we relate. The next tool is a servant's heart. Jesus came to serve and ultimately to give his life away. Service is an earmark of a true disciple. In today's consumer culture, people think more in terms of what's in it for them. They assume that those who share the gospel have the same mindset, which makes them suspicious of our motives. If we have Christ's servant heart, we will look for ways to demonstrate God's love in practical ways, not as a project, but because we love. This can include including time in conversation to get to know someone, setting aside time to visit at people's homes, having people over to our residences, praying for them privately and one-on-one in person, helping with a project, or just being there for them during a crisis. Loving and serving people is worthwhile in its own right. It also may open the door for us to be able to share why Jesus is so important to us. Jesus wants his followers to serve our way into the hearts and lives of those around us. Loving service gives credibility to the gospel message. The next tool is knowledge of the Bible and the gospel. Bible literacy is very low, even among churchgoers. As a culture, we have grown lazy and unmotivated to pursue the knowledge of the Scriptures and Bible truth. The Word of God is our life. It is our bread. We should habitually eat it by reading, meditating, and applying its truth. We should expect the Holy Spirit to reveal wonderful things about God to us, but many of us do not even crack open our Bibles. Many churchgoers show up on Sundays with their mouths open, expecting the pastor to give them enough predigested food to last them for a week. True disciples make a commitment to grow in their own knowledge, understanding, and application of the Bible through personal study and application. John 8:31 and 32. We will never be effective fishers of men unless we understand the gospel well enough to share it easily and naturally. The next tool is a dependence upon the Holy Spirit. When Jesus launched his 3-year itinerant preaching ministry, he quoted Isaiah 61:1 to help us understand his identity and his mission. I'll let you read that on your own. It's found in Luke 4:17 through 21. Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit to equip and empower him for the ministry he carried out over the rest of his earthly life. Although he was and is God in the flesh, he depended on the Spirit just as we must. Jesus was filled with the Spirit at the River Jordan and operated in the power and gifts of the Spirit throughout his ministry. We will be looking at how he did this in great detail in the articles which will follow. One of Jesus' titles is Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, Luke 3:16. Jesus commanded his followers to receive this empowering from on high so that we too can be as effective as the Spirit can make us. We simply cannot rely on human intelligence and ability if we want to be expert fishers of men. If you are interested in learning more about the baptism and gifts of the Spirit, you can read my book on the subject, which is entitled Promise of the Father and is available on Amazon. The next tool is boldness. The Holy Spirit gives Jesus' followers boldness to share the gospel. This is the main function of the baptism in the Spirit. See Acts 1:8. We may know what the gospel says, be committed to the Great Commission, and love people, but eventually we will face those critical times when courage is required. We will run the risk of being misunderstood, rejected, ignored, or even persecuted as a result of sharing the good news about Jesus. Jesus said that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father in heaven and the angels. But if we're ashamed of him and the gospel before men, he will not give us this heavenly approbation. Matthew 10:32-33. These are sobering words. The Apostle Peter denied Jesus during a time of great fear and pressure. So, we should not be surprised when we are tempted to keep our mouths shut when we should be standing up boldly for truth. I am not suggesting that we be obnoxious representatives of Christ. There are appropriate times and ways to share God's truth and other times to be silent. Knowing which is which requires us to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. However, when it is clearly the right time to be bold, that is what needs to be in our tackle box. The next tool is patience and determination. Fishermen must be patient and determined. Sometimes the fish are biting and other times they are not. We must believe that God's word will not come back void, but will accomplish his intention. Isaiah 55:11. Paul exhorted his disciples to never become weary in well-doing because, quote, in due season we will reap if we do not give up, end of quote, Galatians 6:9. Working with people requires patience and determination. We may fail in our attempts over and over, but quitting makes failure permanent. We cannot always know what is going on beneath the surface in a person's life. On the exterior, he or she may appear to be uninterested, but when deep inside, they may be wrestling with God. The Apostle Paul is a good example of God's ability to get through to even the most hostile foes of the gospel. Ask the Lord to encourage your heart to keep sowing into the lives of those around you. It will not go unrewarded. As we look at our own tackle boxes, perhaps you, like me, are missing some gear. Don't worry. God's grace will make up for what we lack. The important thing is to start fishing. Add as much gear as you can as you go. If we wait to begin until after we think we are completely ready, we may never catch a fish. Every person can lead to faith. Every person we can lead to faith in Jesus is a person added to God's family and rescued from satanic oppression. Every person we help to become a fisherman will multiply our efforts. Now get fishing.